On this episode, we talk about one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. We ask what motivates us, either fear or love, and we also take your questions at the end. So hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up-close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Welcome to episode 4. Man, it seems like we've just been doing this for a long time. I am loving it. How are you doing today, Liz? Maybe tell the people.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're feeling a little under the weather though, right?
Yeah, a little under the weather.
It's been a crazy week. It's been a busy week. We actually just got back from Iowa last night. And let me just tell you guys, if you've never been to Iowa, if you live in Iowa and you're listening, great place, but it's very difficult to go outside because it was negative like 20 degrees with wind chill. I felt like my eyeballs were going to freeze in their sockets. I thought that was actually possible. And it was just pretty insane. Would you agree?
Yes.
But Kinsley,
what's funny is when usually when we're talking about weather, we kind of exaggerate a little bit, but actually it really was negative 20 to negative 30.
Oh, yeah. We're not exaggerating. Like, that is literally, I didn't even know we had technology that could actually go that far in reading the temperature. Jeez Louise. But it was really fun actually, because we got to see, your aunt and she lives in town and it was fun to be there. And then I got to speak before a concert with the Digital Age, which they are really fun. I really enjoy their music. They're David Crowder's old band. If, people listening don't know who they are, they're great. And it was just a blast. My favorite part though was seeing Kinsley in a little snowsuit, because it kind of reminded me of Christmas Story, where it's like she's fallen and she can't get up, you know? And then I think it was the dad or the mom's like, hey, put your hands down when you go to school. And the kid's like, I can't put my hands down, because he's so puffy. But, that's what it reminded me of every single time I looked at
it. It was really cute.
It literally was the best thing ever. And I think we posted a picture on Instagram or Snapchat if you want to go take a look.
And I will say, people will probably hate me for this, but because The Bachelor just started and he's from Iowa, so the whole time I was like, oh, picturing where he's living and yep, whoever he marries will yep be there. And
well, yeah, what's funny is the town I was speaking in was called Pella, and that was a town of about 10,000 people, and I thought that was just like the tiniest town in the world, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in Timbuktu, you know, tiniest town, because you know, our high school is what, like 3,200 students, so that was like basically yeah, three of our high schools was that town. But they made it sound like that was a metropolis, because they told you that how many people actually live in Chris's town, The Bachelor.
Like 400 people.
Like, he lives in a town of 400 people. I think there's more like corn than people, which is actually probably true in every town in Iowa. Depending on how you count.
Not every kernels, town.
Kernels, bushels. I don't even know if that's the right terms. Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
But it was super pretty with the snow.
It was. So, and this week was just a fun week, because I turned in my manuscript, which is always a really big deal. Outside of the publishing date, meaning like when it's on the shelves, turning in a manuscript, that very first date, is one of the biggest dates in a book's life. And man, I'm just so, so, so excited about this book. I wish I could reveal so much in this podcast, but they won't let me. We're very close to the title and we're very close to the cover. So within the next probably month or two, I would say we would get, people will be able to see one of those two things at least, or at least in the early spring. So before we get into the meat of this episode though, we do have to kind of finish our love story. And I don't know.
We're really just giving the cliff notes.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. I mean, because it was like a three-year journey, I guess.
Yeah.
It was kind of one on, one off, one on, if you kind of do it roughly. But so, guys, I can't wait to tell you. This was probably one of the worst moments of my life. So if you caught up on the last episode, she broke up with me. Classic Christian breakup. She didn't seem very affected by it, because she had already had 2 weeks to mourn. And then I tried to send the sweatshirts with the cologne, and it didn't end well, you know? But honestly though, God really, shaped and moved in me in that breakup. I was still at school in Oregon and Alyssa was still in Hawaii. And just really uprooting stuff. Like, I think when bad things happen, or sometimes not bad things, but when like trials or storms happen, I guess, if you want to call them, it's kind of a way of God kind of, at least for me, I visualized it, of kind of pulling, like pretending like I'm a tree and kind of pulling me up by the roots and then showing me like what I'm made of, you know? And I don't mean like in a sports, like show me what you're made of, like an intense way. I mean like you get to see like, man, where does my allegiance lie? Where's my identity? Where's my worth? Where's my satisfaction? And so for me, it was really an uprooting season of, man, I had still a lot of stuff to deal with after starting to follow Jesus just a couple of years prior. And one of the big ones we mentioned last episode is that, yeah, I just didn't take risk. I didn't really know what it meant to be a man or to lead or to serve or to, you know, risk rejection and all those different things. And so he really, I think, dealt with me in that season. And then I got, about 5-6 months in of just really, I think, growing more than I ever have in a short amount of time, you know, even to this day. I think it was 5 or 6 months in, I got to the point where I was like, man, I'm growing so much. I feel like I'm finally getting to the place where all the things you broke up with me for aren't there anymore, or at least I'm growing in them. And I, you know, I even did the classic, like, ask mentors, like, hey, do you think I should go for round two? You know, I think I should go after her. And they said yes, they confirmed that. And I was like, oh, this is so God's will. And so then I wrote,
it just wasn't the right time.
Exactly. So then I wrote down in my journal, actually, I wanted to make sure I didn't mess up on this and really said what I wanted to say. And, you know, there was big things in our relationship where, like, you thought you would never leave Hawaii. I thought I could never live in Hawaii. So that was a huge thing I put in the journal. Like, I will move there for you, even though that was such a big deal for me. You know, really suffering for the Lord, moving to Hawaii. And then look what we're doing. So I write down in the journal and I talk about everything and I say what I want to say and I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Or I don't know if I said it that intense, but I basically...
You did.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of blocked that moment out because it gets very interesting in a second.
Everything I had wanted to hear before.
Yeah. So I wrote all that down and then I text you, right? And I say, like, hey, can you hop on Skype for a minute? And you basically, I think it, you just said, like, within a couple hours we did or something. You said, yeah, sure. And so we talked. And so we Skype and I just basically say hello and I go straight into it. I don't even give you a moment to talk or anything. And so because of that, that kind of shot myself in the foot. So I started talking and I think, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. I feel like I just was spilling my heart.
Yeah.
You didn't really get to respond. I was just kind of saying all these things and just pouring out my soul, you know, literally just the depths of who I was. And I get to the end of it and then there's like this awkward silence and then you kind of look at me through the computer and you go, thanks, Jeff, but sorry, I already have another boyfriend. And I just remember fainting, I think I just passed out right there, you know, like that bruh on Vine where it's just like, oh, and you, yeah, okay, you're done.
It was so sad.
It was really sad. I remember just being so blindsided by that. And the best part is he had my name too. Moving on though. Anyways,
got really upset.
Yeah, I did. I do remember that actually. I got kind of upset and just, which again kind of fit into like something I hadn't done before. So I just said, you know, I wanted to fight for you. I wanted to, you know, show you that, no, I really think that, you know, that we're meant to be together, stuff like that. But I had to let you go. And it was funny because God taught me that, I think, the last lesson I needed, which I just kind of had to fully release you. And I realized I hadn't done that in those 5 to 6 months. I was doing everything in my growth for Jesus to try to make myself better to get you back rather than just doing all those things in my growth with Jesus, because I just realized that's what I needed to do with my growth with Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And for anyone listening to relationships or anything like that, that's the biggest thing is like, our story did end very well, but that doesn't happen a lot, you know,
right.
That doesn't happen. It could have ended right there and then we never get back together. And I think the biggest issue is, are you doing all you're doing in a relationship or in a breakup season, if you're trying to get back together, to try to get that person back, or simply because you think that the things God wants to teach you and grow you in that season is for your joy with your relationship with Jesus? That's the most important.
To draw closer to Jesus.
Yeah, no matter if the person comes back or not.
Right.
And that last kind of straw of you being in a relationship kind of made me realize that last part. Man, I was doing all these things, right things, but for the wrong motivation. And God, I think, really kind of pulled out an idol in my heart there and said, you know, no, Jesus is the most important. And am I totally satisfied in him in that moment? And, you know, long story short, you know, you ended up breaking up with that guy. And,
no. Well, he broke up with me.
Well, yeah, but I meant like you guys broke
up. Right, we broke up.
And then, you know, and then you came back to town and I was like, hey, girl, how you doing?
Well, it didn't really go like that.
That's true. Maybe we'll leave that one for the book or something.
Or next podcast.
Exactly. But essentially,
I'll tell that one.
We're married now, you know. I said that with a little Atlanta slang.
Next podcast, we'll finish
it. Exactly. So that, again, is kind of how our love story, how it kind of wove. And it is amazing to look back on it and be like, man, you know, how he wove and how he kind of orchestrated it all. Now we have, you know, a kid, a dog, and we're married. It's just all crazy.
I think the sweetest, one of the sweetest things to know in that is just that whenever you date somebody and if you break up or if you don't break up, to know that it's not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that God is working in it and he's using it to draw you closer to him and to make you more like him and to prepare you either for marriage with that person or with somebody else. And, you know, as long as we're seeking him, like, it is never in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that truth. It's not, because I think if you are dating someone, you break up, you're like, man, I just wasted all this time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
you know, and you
rather
didn't.
That's part of your narrative. That's part of your growth. That's part right. of your life. And maybe there's, you know, I know for me, there is dating seasons I had that maybe were totally felt like a waste of time or unhealthy. And looking back, I'm, you know, it's hard for me to not struggle with shame or guilt on those things. But I mean, I know Jesus, there's grace and there's freedom there. But even in those ones, even the ones that I think were like, you know, not healthy at all, it's like, man, God just really shaped me and guided me through that. And there's so much grace mm-hmm. for that. And for me, there, you know, it's taught me empathy. It's taught me a lot of things. So.
Right. Well, what's that verse? Is it 2 Corinthians? How we'll go through trials and God will comfort us so that we can comfort others who are yeah. going through those same trials.
I think it's 2 Corinthians, just the first chapter, I think. Yeah. And he's the God of mm-hmm. all comfort.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's, yeah, I definitely needed the God of all comfort when you said, hey, bro, I got another boyfriend. Sorry.
Okay.
No. Hashtag truth. But yeah, so that was our story. I guess this week, one thing I wanted to concentrate on too for the middle of the episode before we get into questions is just something that's been on my heart is in 1 John 4, this concept that John brings up of the difference between fear and love. In verse 18, 1 John 4:18, he says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And the more I've marinated and sat on that text and that verse, I've realized that you can actually like do the exact same Christian life, meaning the exact same behavior. So it's not like it even changes your behavior, I don't think, in all
the
capacity.
Same actions.
Yeah, you can have the same actions in your Christian life, and one can be by love and one can be by fear, meaning like, you know, you can still totally. Do your quiet time. You can still love and serve your spouse if you're married. You can still, you know, want to be in community and church. You can still do all these things. But they can be motivated by two very different things. And one is not for our flourishing and not for our joy and not God's plan, fear. And one is, you know, love, this covenant, this grace, being motivated out of joy. I think fear, there's no joy in fear. So you can do all the right behaviors, but you have no joy. And so for me, I'm asking, man, am I just doing something because I think that God will be pleased with that? And that's always a good question to ask sometimes, but am I doing it, basically, here's a better way to put it. The opposite of that is, am I doing this just so that I don't get in like eternal trouble, you know? Or am I doing this because I actually think it's for my joy and for God's glory? And one of those is for fear and one of those is love. Like even he says in that verse, for fear has to do with punishment. And man, I just have realized that that's like every time I do something motivated by fear, it's kind of a waste. Because it doesn't matter how good or Christian or moral the behavior is, God doesn't get any glory out of that, right? You know, and I think if people have read my first book or heard me preach sometimes, I use that example I heard from Matt Chandler. He talks about, you know, no one looks at a marriage where the guy just really doesn't like his wife at all and, you know, doesn't even want to be with her and doesn't, he just kind of talks bad about her, but he says, you know, oh, I made a promise. I'm not going to divorce. Divorce isn't an option. No one looks at that and says, oh, that's so precious. That's so cute. Cause there's no glory there. There's no, it's something that only has glory when there's enjoyment. When there's two people enjoying one another, you say, ah, I want that. I want to know that. I want that. And so with us, with God, he doesn't get any glory when we don't enjoy him. That's really what he's after. And he's so enjoyable. I just think we missed the boat on that. So for me, I've just been asking, man, how do I let this marinate in my heart? How do I, you know, sit in this? I mean, what would you say on that or anything that?
Well, it just makes me think of, for so many years of my life, I felt like I had to earn God's love. Like I knew that he loved me and I knew he saved me, but I felt like I had to do all these things that he tells me to do in order to earn his love so that he'll love me more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that came from because it's not like it was taught to me. I just had this like, you know, like this subconscious way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally a couple years ago, it just like through the breakups, actually, God mm-hmm. just really showed me, man, like he loves me to the fullest extent. In this very moment, he can't love me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never going to earn his love. Like he is just always falling on me like a waterfall.
Yeah.
No matter what I do or don't do, he loves me. And mm-hmm. if I sit in that and if I know and I believe that God loves me, then I'll like, it'll be my joy to serve him and to do all those things for him
mm-hmm.
because it's out of like the love that he loves me instead of trying to earn his love, which I think is a fear thing, like fearful that he doesn't love me enough in this moment, or that I'll disappoint him or let him down, or he'll leave because he's fed up with me, you know, those things. So even in my walk with God, God is showing me that his love isn't based on my performance and what I do or don't do.
Mm.
And I think in our relationships with people too. Like, just, I've really struggled my whole life with fear of man, just wanting to please them and wanting them to like me and not be disappointed with me. And God's really grown me throughout the years, and he still is. I have a long way to go.
Nope, you've arrived. You've arrived.
But just remembering that in every moment of every day, like, and I think that's a big thing. Like, when we love people and we serve them, is it because we love them and, like, out of the love that God has for us, or is it because we're needing their love?
Yeah.
And, like, does that make sense?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, one's unconditional, and one's we're actually doing it from a selfish reason because we want it back, or because we want to be seen as the good person.
Right,
yeah.
And I think that's two things. Like,
that's a really good
when
point.
You see God as big, then people will be small in a sense of, like, you can just love them to love them, and you're not expecting anything.
Yeah.
But if God is small in your life and people are really big and you're fearful, then that can just be a, you know, a scary place. I don't know how to.
No,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And there's
agree.
Verses in the Bible that saying, like, fear of man is like a snare, and it's it's not a fun place to be, because I've been there a lot.
No,
so.
I think, and all of us, I think, have parts of our heart, and the whole Christian journey, the whole walk with Jesus, is kind of like, you know, giving, surrendering, and day by day pulling off the dark parts of our heart and saying, hey, we'll let you in here, we'll let you in here, we'll let you in here, you know, because I think we don't let him in all the darkest parts of our hearts, whether we are dominated by fear or dominated by, you know, these things. But I love the verse where it says perfect love casts out fear. I almost get this vision of, like, you know me, I love comic books and superheroes, and, like, you know, the vision of Thor, right? I think you've heard me say this example, like, but Thor, you know, always has this scene where he has his hammer and he jumps up in the air and then he jumps down with the hammer, and when it hits the ground, there's
kaboosh.
This, like, yeah, exactly the sound it makes. Definitely kaboosh. That's I'm gonna tweet that.
That's like the Russian version of the comic.
Exactly. So if we have any Russians listening, please confirm that or deny that. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. We will be looking at the tweets, which, by the way, I've been loving doing the hashtag. It's really fun to hop on the hashtag with you guys and interact.
We
and
read it even if I don't respond.
Yeah, you
but
read
I,
even if you don't respond.
I do read
you basically never respond. I think you shoot out maybe an average tweet of 2 a year. Am I right?
It's true, and I'm sorry. I'm just bad.
You're kind of like an 85-year-old stuck in like a 27-year-old body.
I really am.
You're kind of one of the only ones that,
But I do love Instagram.
Yeah, you're an Insta person. You're for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. At Alyssa Joy Bethke. Get at her.
Anyway, back to Thor.
Oh, yeah, kaboosh. So he jumps up and then he lands. And when he lands, when the hammer hits the ground, exactly, it makes a kaboosh sound. And then there's like this cloud, almost like this cosmic, like, you know, like this ripple that just, you know, kind of dominates, you know, the enemies. Now, that's a weird way to think about it. But I see, like, love having that power to it, meaning, like, love has this, like, it just like, if anything's in love's tracks, it will get cast out, because love is that grace and that power and the glory of God being, God is love, which it says in this same chapter, right? 1 John 4, like, that has a weight to it. I think we kind of think that love is flimsy or whatever, but no, like look at the cross. The cross was the biggest act of sacrificial love ever. And it had that ripple. It completely turned the world upside down because it had this weight and this glory to it. And so when you step, the answer isn't, like, you don't have to do the double dance of, like, saying no to fear and then saying yes to love. I think when you just understand and rest in love, it has this natural power of just, like, washing out the fear. The perfect love casts out fear. So I just, I
that's cool.
Yeah. I just love that verse. And I think, would love to hear your guys' thoughts again, hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, with what you guys are thinking, or if we're the only ones that struggle with that, or just, yeah, that dance of, man, how do we constantly get closer and closer to love, and like it says in 1 John 4, God is love. So how do we get closer and closer to God?
You know what's cool about that? I just was thinking, because I fear a lot of things, and I love that quote that Anne Voskamp says, and I'm going to butcher it, but basically the idea is when we're fearful, then we are doubting God's love. And so, like, in the future, if you're fearful of whatever, then it's so true. If I'm fearful of something in the future, it's because I'm not thinking of God's love. It's like I've subtracted God
from... Or that
from,
he's adequate for that.
Yeah, but it's like when I'm fearful, I realize I'm not even thinking about God. It's like he's absent from that.
Yeah.
And so,
that's
but
a good
when
point.
You...
It kinda, yeah, it takes away...
You know, but then when I think of the future and I'm like, okay, even if this horrible thing that I'm fearing happens, God is with me. God is present. God loves me. So it's going to be okay. Like, it may be hard, but I know at the end of the day, God is with me and for me. And so even in that, like, when we are resting in God's love, the fear is cast away.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I like that. And so we're going to end that little nugget right there, because you just sealed the nug. Ooh, I'm going to tweet that. That's good. Sealed the nug. Give me some interesting visuals. Anyways, But yeah, let's end the last segment, I think, with a few questions. And the first one I think I saw that I really wanted to think we could answer is, I'm going to be real hard at pronouncing this last name. So Christina, please let us know. But this is on Facebook from Christina Piatachenko. Actually, I think I got that. Piatachenko. Close enough. Christina, let us know. Thank you for your question. Your question is, how did you find your calling? How and why did you start writing and making videos about God? I think we can both answer this, obviously, because you're writing and I'm more on the making videos side. I would say, I'm interested to hear your answer, Liz, but I really struggle with this question because I think we over-spiritualize it. Like I didn't pray about whether or not I should make YouTube videos.
But I was praying.
Yes, that's true. You're interceding to the Lord on my behalf. But
can I share my side of it?
First, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, for you.
Oh, sure.
So after college, when Jeff and I were dating for the second time, he was working at Jubilee doing like this after school.
Yeah, it was like a community center, coaching after school sports. Yeah. Until I didn't know if I wanted to get my teaching degree because I got a degree and I wanted to teach, but I wanted to take a break from school. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew that you didn't love it. And so during that time, for 3 months or so, I was just really praying that God would show you what to do and that your like spiritual gifts would come out and that he would use you in mighty ways. And then the YouTube came out and it blew up.
The YouTube came out.
Well, I can say the YouTube because it was the video that blew you up.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You went kaboosh.
Kaboosh. Oh my goodness. We're going to hashtag kaboosh. I'm going to search that hashtag later.
So I think if you are praying about it, God will show you.
No, I totally agree. And I'm not saying I wasn't praying about it, but I mean a better way to put it is I think God created us with certain capacities and gifts, and we all have a variant difference in all that, right? Like some people like to cook. Some people like to do art. Some people like to play music. Some people want to do law, business, medicine, all that stuff. And I think if you are already created for that capacity, I think that is kind of like God's calling on you. Like we're wired a certain way. And I think God didn't make a mistake, right? God didn't give us a capacity for some type of gift or art. And then not to use that. So for me, I just did what I loved, right? Like I like technology. I like videos. I like kind of art and poetry. And so I put them all together and never once did I say, you know, like this is what I want. This is my calling or anything, but it quickly turned into kind of the bullseye of what I do now because, I think I was, being faithful in just doing what I loved and wanted to do and turning it back to God. The issue is, a lot of us all have gifts and talents. The issue when you come to Jesus isn't that your gifts and talents change, is that you are probably using that gift and talent for yourself and now use that gift and talent for Jesus. That's basically the biggest difference. So use the same gift and talent, but kind of refocus or reorbit it around someone else rather than yourself. So Christina, I hope that helps. I don't know if whatever you like to do, if you like to write, if you like to, you want to be a chef, you want to be a lawyer, I say, man, go for that and do it for Jesus or create this kind of domain where God's king and reigning and ruling in that place and show people what he is like. So I don't know. Would you add anything else to that or how would you answer that for yourself personally?
Well, I would just say too, just keep seeking the Lord. And I think the desires you have, God uses that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think too, our life is in seasons. And if I look back, I see different seasons of my life where God was using me in that season and I loved it, mm-hmm. but then he was also preparing me for this next writing later down the road. And it's just it just kind of came to be. I loved doing it. And then all of a sudden God really used it and I felt really settled in my gifting. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Totally. Which, but, yeah, your gift is, I think writing is completely your gift. You have to weigh with words that other people don't. So
I think it can be seasons. And I feel like I didn't discover writing until just a couple years ago. And so just keep seeking the Lord mm-hmm. in the moment, doing what you love to do, and God will use that.
Totally. That's good. That's good. And by the way, check out Alyssa's book, Spoken For. Check out her blog, alyssajoy.me. She's just a straight wordsmith over here, just dominating life.
Which also I haven't blogged in a while.
Yep. It goes back to your tweet quota. You blog about the same amount that you tweet.
Oh, no. I really want to. It's just we're in this crazy two-month season of moving. So
no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I have these ideas in my head. It's just,
you're formulating.
Yeah.
So when we get to Hawaii, just a blog a day. I can't wait.
No,
I'm just messing around. That's too much. Another really good question. Oh, this is actually from a buddy, Jason Romano. What up, Jason? If you're listening, Jason's the homie, works at ESPN and just is a boss over there in Bristol, Connecticut. Jason asked, how do you balance being in demand and traveling so much compared to being home with your wife and baby daughter?
Ooh.
I don't know. I kind of feel already awkward answering that question. I don't like being in demand or anything. Just a normal guy hanging out, you know, drinking his coffee, doing a podcast with my wife. No, I would say That's a good question, Jason. The thing that really...
I would say we're still figuring that out.
Yeah, like it's definitely a dance and it's definitely like an art and kind of like, but the one non-negotiable is that like, it's not a balancing act. I don't think, because I think just it's a priority thing, right? Like family is first. Families for us, we've made that commitment that family's first, and it's now trying to really play that out and be faithful to that, I think, is where the dance comes in, and like learning, and we're so newly married that it's like learning each other's rhythms, learning each other's kind of how we can do that together, each other's capacity. But the one thing I kind of refuse to do, just reading history books and reading other authors from past, and is I don't want to be a guy who everyone knows in public and then has no energy for home, or then is kind of spent out at home, or has a legacy for being a good preacher and a YouTuber, but has a bad legacy for being a husband and a father. And that thought haunts me. And so I try to put things in place that I think really make sure that no, family's first. And whether it's you guys coming with me, whether it's, you know, me saying no to certain things or whatever it is, I think that is a huge commitment. I mean, Adam Donier's at Linkier, I mean, you remember he kind of said a quote when were we there, like October or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
A couple months ago. And he basically said, you know, Jeff, a million people can do what you do. Like, you know, there's another person that can do YouTube. There's another person that can write a book. There's another person that can preach or do a podcast. But ultimately, there's only one Jeff the husband, Jeff the father. Only one person can be a husband to Alyssa, and only one person can be a father to Kinsley. And that just really convicted me that, man, you know, at the end of the day, I want to build a legacy that's built on family, that's built on that legacy of a lineage and of loving you, loving Kinsley, and leaving that as my most impacting legacy. Cause at the end of the day, I'm just not that important with, I think what happens is people can think they're way too pivotal to the kingdom.
I think maybe guys struggle with this
more. I mean, maybe.
I mean, girls do too, but I think I see this a lot in guys too.
Yeah, maybe it's because more.
Can I say that?
Which I guess. I mean, yeah. No, I agree, because we're more created, I guess, to kind of really put our hands to the ground and really work and build something. We really like. See, I don't want a caricature. It's not true with every male.
No.
We really like building something and seeing results. And so for us, and this is actually a really good point. Good point. Yeah. So YouTube or book writing or whatever, that's very easy to see the result. It's like, okay, I did that.
Well, like in a day, you could be like, oh, cool, I accomplished da-da-da-da-da.
But what's funny is the way God's wired marriage, you can never really say that. It's really...
Or with kids.
Yeah, or kids. Marriage or kids, you can never say that. You can never say, I accomplished this. I created this, right? It's like, that's just not how it works. It's a journey, and it's love, and it's grace, and it's covenant. And what I love about that is the only time you can actually ever say that is right when you're about to die. Mm-hmm. Think about that, right? Like, like when you're about to die, you can finally look back on, hopefully, 30, 40, 50 years and say, man, I tried my hardest to be faithful to Jesus, faithful to my wife, and faithful to my kids. And I do see some fruit of creating a legacy of people and a community underneath us, me and you, our kids, that love Jesus and will pass it on. But it's funny is God never lets you say that with a marriage or kids until basically the last day.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes that's why guys struggle with it, is it's very hard to see. You can kind of feel like you're just in the tornado of it all, you know, and it's really hard. But I love that part of it when I sit in it, because man, that's what I want to be about. You know, I want to be able to have that last day, not be at that age and be like, oh, whatever, made a bunch of YouTube videos, but you know, probably won't be YouTube by then. It'll probably be some holographic chip in our head or something like that. but you, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, what would you say to that? Or how would you kind of say we're walking through that? Or how do you prioritize it as well?
Well, I think we're still learning it, and it really is a dance. And like, I mean, we've only been at it like 2.5 years, and we've already seen like, okay, this was a no-go. That was too much. Mm-hmm. This worked for us. And I think it changes with each season too. And setting up boundaries and then kind of like reevaluating and seeing how did that work, and getting a lot of wisdom from other people. And I would say it's still hard, and some months are really hard and some are a lot better. And so we're just figuring it out still, I would say.
Totally.
But I think a lot of communication and a lot of like being understanding and, you know.
Totally. No, that's good. That's good. I think this will be our last question, because I think it actually, my answer will be very similar to the one I just said, but from a different question. This one is from Beatrice Hoshioda. Beatrice, you're going to have to help me with that one too. on Facebook, what has been the hardest thing for you in your journey of following Jesus?
Ooh, you go first.
Really good question. And why I think my answer would be similar is because for me, I think being very results driven, it's the same thing with Jesus, that like you just don't get that with your walk with Jesus. You never get to an end point. And I think me, just the way I always operated in life before coming to Jesus, whether it was with athletics, whether it was with academics, I always wanted to reach the end, you know, and say like, I did this, or I'm done, or, you know, and I think it's the hardest point, but also the beautifulest point, that like, you know, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, you know, Jesus is kind of like a dentist, right? Where you go, you usually come to him because you have like one little cavity, you think, but then when he actually starts looking around, he wants to, you know, basically take out the whole mouth, or do surgery on everything, you know, like it's just kind of like he doesn't let you go until you're fully like him, which is basically, you know, death and resurrection and, you know, yeah. And kind of, going with him to glory. So, but that's such a beautiful thing. I think at first that was the hardest thing, is I thought, when I first started following Jesus, I tried to just like fix everything really fast. First of all, not realizing that I can't do that at all. He does that. And second of all, it's a journey. And there's some things that won't, that like there's certain temptations, or there's certain things that won't ever get fixed until, you know, we die and go to be with him. And I think that's actually a lot of grace too, because Jesus knows that in those specific things, you lean on him the most, you depend on him the most. And he knows that that's where you actually get infused with most life, is the things where you are so desperate for him. And so sometimes I don't think he does take those things away from us, because that's kind of like almost your lifeline of how you really stick so close to him. And I, at least I know that's true for me. So I don't know. Did that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
That's okay. Good. What would you say is the hardest thing about following Jesus, or has been?
Oh man, I don't know. I think in general, if I look back and consider now, I think, just constantly trusting him, mm-hmm. and relying on him, because I so easily want to control things or do it myself, mm. or, you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And when I am relying on him and abiding in him, it's so sweet. Yeah. But when yeah. I try to do it myself, I get frenzied and fearful and anxious and mm-hmm. all that. So I think just a constant, like, Lord, just a constant guarding my mind and remembering who he is and what he's done and how faithful and good he is, and relying on him.
That's good.
Which I think we always are constantly learning.
Oh, totally. And that's, I think, why we should end on that, is that, man, what does it look like to not just think we need to get to an end point with Jesus, but what would it look like to actually live moment by moment in the spirit, depending and resting on him? And I actually talk about that in my next book, in the knowledge of tree of good and evil and all that, but we don't want to get into that right now. Basically, I think, yeah, we are created to live in full dependence moment by moment, with Jesus, with our creator. And so, yeah, that's a great place to end. Any other final thoughts, or?
No, but I feel like we need a joke or something.
Why?
We've been kind of more serious this episode.
I know, this podcast was kind of serious.
Sorry, maybe because I wasn't feeling so good.
Yeah, maybe. Wow. Yeah. You didn't meet your snort quota.
I know.
What was it? Usually like 5 to 7 per episode?
Yeah.
I think I heard 1 or 2. So, no, I don't have any jokes. But if anyone has eaten a Laffy Taffy lately, feel free to send us that joke. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. Those are always my favorite jokes. No, we hope you guys have a great week this week. Again, relying, depending on Jesus. We hope this was an encouragement. We love you guys so much. Feel free to hashtag and send us in comments or quotes that you like the most from the episode. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. And you can also use that hashtag to send us questions that you want us to answer in episode 5, 6, or 7 coming up in the future. So we love you guys. Hope you have a great week.
Aloha.
I'm leaving that in there. All right, take care.